Happy to be here this morning with you as well. I mean, it's really an honor to us, you know. We pastored for 23 years full time, so we really understand the honor that it is to be invited into a church. And so we love your pastors. We've known them for a number of years. Never really did get too many chances to spend too much time to visit. Although this last meeting, Pastor Kimberly, you and I actually got to visit for a little while. Pastor Mark wasn't having me doing anything at the moment, and I enjoyed that visit with you. And so, anyways, we're just really grateful to be here with you guys. And I never could suppose that we could improve on anything than what you've already been taught by your pastors. But maybe we could come in and compliment and just confirm and maybe just be that encouragement to get you over a hump into new things of God, into a new season of God. And I just feel the Lord saying, like, you're not stuck. Don't feel like you're stuck. You might have been where you're at for a while, but that's not stuck. When God gets ready to move you, he will move you. And you'll just find out how unstuck you actually were. When he moves you, you'll be moved before you ever even know you got moved. I mean, that's how God will do it for you. But you just got to be real cautious not to move yourself, not to jump out and just try to make things happen and get impatient. And I love one of the things Brother Kenneth E. Hagin used to always say is when you get a word from God or a prophetic word from God or even just something in your heart, you know, God's telling you, here's the rule. Don't make it happen. Let it happen. If God's big enough to give you the word, he's big enough to bring it to pass. When God gives you a word, he's not telling you what he wants you to do. When God gives you a word, he's telling you what he's going to do. If you'll follow his leading, it'll get done. Amen. So even with all you're doing that he leads you, in that of itself is not going to get the thing done. That's just going to get you in position to receive what he's going to do. And there are things you'll need to do, but it'll be actions of faith and responses in your obedience to God's leading and according to the written word of God. But when God actually does it, it'll be so great. It'll be like the Lord has done great things for us. And not just you, but people around you will say the Lord has done great things for them because it'll be on such a level that everybody knows you couldn't have done that. Amen. Praise God. And so I believe that for you today and for this season in your life and in this church, amen. Well, what I had on my heart to minister and what I feel led to do, we'll see how far we get on it. But I want to talk about making strong spirit-led decisions. Making strong spirit-led decisions. And I want to just, for the guys in the sound booth, I had a few things that I'm going to skip. We're just going to go right to Romans chapter 8. Romans 8, and I'm going to read the 14th through the 16th verse. Romans chapter 8, verses 14 through 16. The Apostle Paul says this, "For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father." Verse 16 says, "The Spirit itself, we don't like to call the Holy Spirit an it. I mean, I love the King James, but it missed it there. The Holy Spirit is a him, not a it. Amen. So the Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. Now, I want to point out in verse 14 where it says, as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. The Greek word, and I didn't take the time to go back and recall what that Greek word and everything was. I'm not a Greek scholar. I'm just getting good at English, you know. but I did study it. I know it's true. I just don't even probably know how to pronounce the word if I knew what it was. So we'll skip that part. But the word sons there, it's literally talking about mature sons. They that are led by the Spirit of God, what it actually says is they that are led by the Spirit of God are led by the mature ones. Well, you know not every Christian who's born again is being led by God, right? Because they don't know how. They haven't learned, or maybe they're too young to have learned. So they're not going to be led by the Spirit of God, not the way that he intends ultimately for us to be led. But being led by the Spirit of God belongs to those who have become spiritually mature. And the greatest sign of our spiritual maturity then is the ability to hear from God and make strong Spirit-led decisions in our life. You know, to this day, Kathy and I, when it comes to major decisions in our life, pivotal decisions in our life, we don't just flippantly make those decisions like we assume, because we assume God wants us to do it. Like, we have people over us. You know, even pastors need pastors, you know? And I know your pastors have pastors, people that they're accountable to. You know, we always need someone that can speak into our lives or at least give us a little bit of a perspective that we don't have on our own, that, you know, like sometimes you can't see the forest for the trees. Well, sometimes people on the outside can just look in and say, no, why are you thinking that? You know, do this. You're like, oh, yeah, you know? We always need people to speak into our lives. But when it comes down to it, you have to be able to follow the Holy Spirit and not rely on outward advice and guidance. We have to learn to look on the inside and know what the Holy Spirit is telling us. And so the greatest sign of spiritual maturity is the ability to hear from God and make strong Spirit-led decisions in life. Then verse 16 again, it tells us where this leading comes from. How does God lead us? In verse 16, the Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. So there's many ways that the Holy Spirit may lead us at times, different avenues. But God primarily leads us through the inward witness of our spirit. I could sit here and tell you multiple times when God has led me or spoken to me, maybe you might say in more spectacular ways. You know, sometimes you have, how many's ever had a spiritual dream? God showed you some things, you know? Several of you. A lot of people have dreams that they feel like God's given them, you know? And there are times when God will show you things in dreams, but I like to say those are more like, when it comes to really being led, those are more like the exception to the rule. Like, even if I had a dream telling me, I'm still looking inside. I don't care how strong or technicolor that dream was. How brilliant it was. You know, it was so real. It was so real. I don't care. If I don't have it in my heart, I'm throwing it out. You know, so even if God does give me a dream and seemingly giving me some direction, I'm still looking on the inside. I'm like, now, Lord, you know, that seemed like that was maybe you. You know, and the reason I say that is because now I'm checking to see how it feels on the inside. If you want to know how something feels on the inside, speak it out and just listen. And just, you know, say it. Like, if you feel like you're supposed to take another job that's being offered to you, say, I'm going to take such and such a job, and then listen. Yeah. You see what I'm saying? Now, here's where people get in trouble is they're waiting for a yes or no answer. But let me tell you this, a non-answer is the same as a no answer until God gives you one or the other. A non-answer is the same as a no answer. If I don't get a clear answer, I'm counting it as no until I get a clear answer. I mean, he's God. He knows how to communicate to me. No matter how low he has to stoop to get it to me, he's capable. So I'm not going to doubt his ability to communicate to me, even if I'm not hearing on the level I'm supposed to. If I'm waiting, Lord, you're just going to have to show me, because I'm standing right here. Until you, that's what so many people aren't willing to do, though. They get impatient. Well, I just need to make a decision. You know, we're just going to, and man, you can miss some things, you know. Now, God will bring you back full circle and help you again, but why waste all that time, you know? He's merciful, but I want to get where he's taking me as soon as he wants me there. How about you? Amen. And so the number one way that God will lead us is through the inward witness of our Holy Spirit, of the Holy Spirit who dwells on the inside of us. You know, this inward witness, even people in the world have this. You know, a lot of people refer to it as a gut feeling. Yeah, you know, I remember, now I was probably saved, but I wasn't following the Lord. Anybody like that at the one time in your life? I know everybody's following the Lord today. That's why you came to church. But like, I was saved probably for a while before I actually started following the Lord, and it was just because I was so young and I didn't have examples in my life. I didn't have the right influences in my life. I didn't have a good foundation, so I would just go back with the way of the world. And but I remember being in certain situations with some friends, and I just had this strong something on the inside, like, say, get out of this place. And I remember just telling my friends, like, man, I got to get out of here. And they all thought I was strange, you know. Why you got to get out of here, you know? And, well, I mean, now I got to tell you what we were doing. But anyways, the Lord was still with me, though. So. I found out later that the police had gotten called on all my friends for sitting outside and they were drinking. And just that day, I wasn't that day. It was all around me, and I just said, no, I don't want none of that. And something on the inside of me just told me, you need to get out of this place. Well, all my friends had gotten arrested just moments after I left. Now, God wasn't protecting me and my drinking lifestyle, you understand? But but he wasn't like, you know, you my boy, you know? So I don't mean to convey that to anybody, you understand? But God was calling me out of that. Yeah, yeah. Amen? And there was something on the inside that just took away, like, that could have been the funnest thing. Just a normal maybe Friday evening after school, like it's weekend, boy. You know what I mean? But I just like, no, I don't want none of that. I'm good. It wasn't a religious thing. It was just I simply didn't want it. Like if you were to ask me if I wanted some water, I'd say, no, I'm good. I mean, that was just how simple it was. And then all of a sudden, you need to get out of this place. I just knew that I knew I just needed to get out of there. Well, some neighbors had called the police, and all my friends had gotten, about four or five of them got arrested. For drinking in public, underage, you know. And it's like I knew God was working on me. Like, I knew he wasn't helping me in that. He was wanting to help me out of that. You understand? And so even when I wasn't following the Lord, I still had an inward witness. And even if a person's not born again, they still have a spirit. Somewhere deep down inside of there's a spirit. And even your heart knows some things better than your head does. The world calls it a gut feeling. Or maybe, have you heard this one? A sneaky suspicion. Have you heard that? Where do these terms come from? They're trying to describe this feeling on the inside that something's not right. You know, or a hunch, maybe they'll call it, right? Or a notion. I got a notion. What does that mean? That's an inward witness, right? Yeah. We have to always watch for these notions, inward witnesses, amen? And you even hear people say many times, trust your gut, right? Trust your gut. Well, you really can trust your gut, but you can really trust your spirit or your gut when you get your mind renewed to the Word of God. Because your heart might lead you right one day, and the next day just tell you to do something absolutely stupid if you don't have your mind renewed to the Word of God, right? So here's one thing that Brother Hagin said that blessed me. He said, if we don't learn how to be led by what the Spirit gives us on the inside, then we're going to be led by selfish and designing people. If we don't learn how to be led by what the Spirit gives us on the inside, we're going to be led by selfish and designing people. Now, I'm not too bright, so I looked up the synonyms on designing. I could kind of guess, like, it's probably not something you want to be, you know, because of the context. But what designing means, it's scheming, conniving, and manipulative people. Have you ever heard the saying, like, if you don't find something to do, somebody else is going to find something for you to do? Have you ever heard that expression? Well, it's the same way that if you don't know how to be led, somebody else is going to find something for you to do. They're going to lead you to do something. And if you don't have an anchor, if you don't have like an inner compass of purpose, people can convince you to do anything with them that they want you to do. And you got to be led. You got to say, you know what? I really appreciate you. I think what you're doing is a great thing, but I just don't have it in my heart. And if that hair lips them, that's their problem. I mean, it just shows their attitude to begin with. I mean, they ought to say, you know what? I just want to let you know. And if that's how you feel, well, praise the Lord. If you ever change your mind, you know how to reach me. Thank you. You know, that's how simple it should be, right? But many times people will try to just move people to help them without that person's better interest at heart. Amen? So I didn't plan on saying all that, but it's true. You got to know what you have in your heart and follow that. Amen? And go back to what God told you. And if he hasn't told you to do anything different, then that means just keep doing what he told you to do. Amen. So look with me now. What was that, honey? You say something? Yeah, that's right. Be still. So God says, be still and know that I'm God. So sometimes you don't have that answer. All you got to do is just, like I was saying earlier, I'm not doing nothing until I get a direction, right? Let's look now in Psalm 37, verse 23. Honey, if you have something, feel free. Yeah, go ahead.
When I went to Rhema, I went to a mission trip right after, and my friend, she was like, hey, would you want to go on this mission trip last minute with me to Peru? And I said, well, I'm already going to Jamaica with our college and career group, and I just don't think I would have the money. She's like, but if God provided for you, would you? And so I was like, well, yeah, I would. So I'm going a different route. I'm so sorry.
It's okay.
Anyways, I put an ad in the newspaper for people. I would pick up their garage sale stuff. So I did that. I got people's garage sale stuff, had a garage sale, which paid in full for my Peru trip and my Jamaica trip. So it was just really supernatural. God provided.
Wasn't it like $2,000 you got for those?
It was a lot, yeah, for two mission trips. But that was not what I was trying to tell you. I'm so sorry. So at the Peru trip, there was a couple with us, and they were from Venezuela. And they just, like, really wanted me to come and work with them in Venezuela.
Yeah.
And so I was right out of Rhema. I was like, I'm your girl. I'm in. Like, whatever you want me to do, I'm a worker bee. I'm there. I'll do it. So totally told them, like, I'll go. So I went home. My pastors had, like, a dinner at their house. We were playing volleyball. And if you know my pastor, he is so competitive that you do everything you can to not be on his team. Because if you're on his team and you're playing poorly, it's bad, you know. So he and I were like in offsides, but not on the same team. And so I just looked to him and I just said, I'm going to move to Venezuela. This certain couple, they invited me to come and work with them. I was so in touch with my pastor that he said, oh. He nodded his head. And in my spirit, it was like, no. So, and I mean, I wouldn't have married Joey. I would have missed my children. I would have missed the supernatural pastoring.
Wow.
So it's so important.
One thing.
Pastors will never be the Holy Spirit for you.
Yeah.
But if you're connected to them, you will draw the gift of God out.
Yeah,
of them.
Amen.
That it's so vital and so important. It could help you really miss or make very important marks in your life.
Amen. That's good. And you know, I remember that story. I'm glad you shared that. Kathy really didn't leave Pastor Bracken much room either. She just said what God told her to do. I'm moving to Venezuela. Like, you know, and pastors get accused of controlling people, but then when they don't, they get in trouble for it. Like, it's like, so it's, and I mean, I only say this because we pastored 23 years. We it's happened to us. It's not a book I read, you know. Like, I could write the stinking book. No, I'm just kidding. I'm just having fun. But anyways, so, yeah, Kathy didn't really give any room for Pastor Bracken to give his input. And she didn't know. Her heart was completely pure and right. And this is what I think everybody's heart is pure and right. It's just maybe without some knowledge. But, like, a good way to do it is, you know what, Pastor, I was over here in Peru, and I just felt in my heart like God might be leading me to Venezuela, right? And, you know, I'm just praying it out, but I just kind of wanted to bounce that off of you, you know, see what you thought. Like, that would be an appropriate way. And then he still probably wouldn't say, oh, no, that's not God. But he would probably say something like, you know, you're a fool. No, I'm just kidding. No. No, I'm just teasing. I just said that. But, like, the exact opposite of what you would say. But it's just like, well, you know, we'll just continue to pray about it and just see. And then maybe your pastor can ask some very pertinent questions that can help bring light to things that help you see it better for yourself. Well, how are you feeling? Like, what do you have in your heart about that? You know, simple things like that. Because we don't want to be the Holy Spirit in people's lives as a pastor. That's our Our purpose as pastors is to help you to follow the very Spirit that lives on the inside of each one of you. Amen. And so, let's see here. So Psalm 37, let's go to Psalm 37. I'm going to read 23 through 25. And Pastor Stephen, Kimberly, if you guys had anything you want to chime in, we could just tag team here. If you had something, we're just having fun. So hopefully I can help a little bit. So Psalm 37, beginning in verse 23, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delights in his way. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholds him with his hand. Verse 25 says, this is David. He says, I have been young and now I'm old, yet I've not seen the righteous forsaken nor his seed begging bread. How many has heard that verse 25? And you know, it's a great scripture because though God was talking to David, we know that he's no respecter of persons. That if David could say, I was young and now I'm old, I've never seen the righteous forsaken nor his seed begging bread, then we could say that. Amen. God doesn't love David anymore than he loves you or me. Amen. So if he made that promise to him, if that was his testimony, I could have that testimony too. But I was noticing as I was studying on being led by the Holy Spirit, I teach this subject quite a bit actually, but several years back, I saw the connection between prosperity and being led. And it's right here. You just need to go back to verse 23. Why is it that we could be so sure the righteous won't be forsaken or ever caught begging bread? You go back to verse 23. It says, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. That's where it began. Right? Now, if David didn't follow those steps that God was ordaining, God couldn't give him that testimony. So he followed. Now, he fell, but it said he would not be utterly cast down. So when you're on the right path, it's not about how many times you fall. You just got to trust the Holy Spirit to pick you back up and never put your faith and your confidence in yourself. It was always on him to begin with before you fell. Amen? Praise God. You need to know how bad you need the Lord when you're doing right as much as you need to know how bad you need the Lord when you miss it, when you blow it. Amen. You know, sometimes your greatest strength can actually be your greatest weakness because you don't think you need the Lord in them areas. Oh, I got that licked. Well, that's where the devil's going to try to hit you right there because you got self-confidence. Amen. Woo, come on. You'll be led so good when you just finally learn that you just can't do it on your own. Amen. But through him. Praise God, through him. It's not just through trials and tribulations and storms. It's through life. It's getting up out of bed every morning. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I just did that by Christ who strengthens me. I exhale by Christ who strengthens me. I inhale by Christ who strengthens me. Amen. Amen. Everything. And when you live your life like that, it's a position for promotion, a position of blessing, and where God can just take you and bring you anywhere he wants to take you in life. Amen? How many want to go there with me? Amen? Praise God. Kenneth Hagin also said this. He said, all the leadings that I've ever gotten have come out of my spirit. All the leadings that I've ever gotten have come out of my spirit. And he even said this, they've come while I was praying in tongues. So a lot of times when you're trying to maybe check your spirit or you're praying, start praying in the spirit. And this is something that I think the Lord showed me that can help a lot of people. We understand Paul said that when we pray in tongues, we should pray for the interpretation as well, right? So how many's ever struggled with getting your interpretation? I mean, I have, right? You know, you have no problem praying in tongues, but you have no idea what you're praying about. Like, and you know you're supposed to interpret, but you're just like, I have no idea what I just said. But here's, the Lord showed me this. A lot of times people are getting the interpretation to their tongues, in their prayer language I'm talking about, not in a public assembly, but just in their prayer language, at home, in their car. A lot of people, he said, are getting their interpretation and don't even know it. They don't, because they're looking for it to come a certain way other than the way that it came. So when it came, they missed it. And here's how it comes. It comes in just thoughts. Have you ever been praying in tongues and be like, why am I thinking about that for? Well, you prayed it out. Yeah. And maybe it's a person where you just say, well, Lord, so-and-so's on my heart, and just start praying. Maybe you don't know what to pray. Just pray the Ephesians prayer, Ephesians 1 prayer for them. You know, say, Lord, I just thank you for meeting their needs and doing, and then maybe specific things will come and you can go off that. If it doesn't, then you go back to praying in tongues. Well, let me give you an example of the Lord giving me an interpretation of my tongue. Kathy and I, we had paid off our first church property and building, and there was another church that was closing down that was much more ideal for us. We were planning on building on the land that we had, but when this church became available, it was the much more obvious choice that this is where God wants us to go. We purchased the whole church building and its property for less money than it would have cost us to build a kitchen for our church on the land that we had. Fellowship hall, I'm saying, too. You know, just the fellowship hall and kitchen would have cost as much or more than what we paid for that entire place. So what do you think the Lord's leading us to do, right? Some things you don't have to pray about, right? And we had done everything, including demoing 5 buildings. We were at the point of ordering steel. We had the blueprints for the building. We were at the point of ordering the steel. We had been raising funds. And now all of a sudden, I've got to tell the church, well, because here's what happened was the contractor's calling me. He says, Joey, it's time to order the steel. You ready to get this done? Now, I live in a small town. It's not like hidden off. Like everybody's going to know steel is on the ground at Family Harvest Church. And everybody knows everybody. Now, I knew if I ordered that steel, we're going to have to get a building up, you know. Or I'm going to put my people under undue stress of going to the grocery store. When y'all going to get that building built? When y'all going to get that built? That's not fair. You understand? Now, I know some churches are off in the hills somewhere, miles away from civilization, and they could let their youth building sit for 10 years if they want to, and nobody's bothered by it. But I was in the center of town. You know what I'm saying? So it was like do it or don't do it. And I mean, just so strong in my spirit, the Lord said, do not order that steel. And it seemed like we wasted so much money demoing. Why'd we demo all these buildings? I mean, one building cost us 90 grand to demo because they found asbestos in it. And we paid $135,000 for the old building and the lots it was sitting on. So we owned a city block eventually, but it started out just piece by piece. We didn't even mean to do that, by the way. We were just led by the Spirit. We didn't think, we're going to acquire this block in Jesus' name. What happened was, is we had a little piece of land on the side that was empty, and Kathy said, I'd like to talk to whoever owns this and put a children's playground right here. Oh, that'd be great. Well, we ended up buying that. And then the guy owned the closed down post office next door. And he said, if you want that, I'll sell that to you too. So we bought that. And then there was Miss Garza way down here that owned 6 lots all the way down to the end. And it took me 3 years, but I finally got her to sell it to us. I could tell that. So I love that story. But anyways, Kathy says, we don't have time, but like, it's really, she's a super precious lady. But, long story short on that, when she finally decided that she would sell, I came and knocked. What I would do is about once or twice a year, I'm going to tell it anyways. But I'm talking about being led still. So once or twice a year, I would just go knock on the door and I would just, hey, it's me again. And she'd say, oh, come in, pastor. She's a little Spanish lady, real sweet. And I just said, well, I just wanted to come see what you're thinking about your place, you know. And she's like, oh, pastor, I could never sell it. You know, my daddy owned this, my grandpa, you know, and it's just a you know, heritage type thing. And, oh, no worries. I would be there for like less than 10 minutes, no pressure at all. I probably came to her house maybe 4 or 5 times, and I would only do it when I was driving by and I had the thought, go see her. And then one day I went in there, I knocked on the door, and it was one of her daughters. They were like in their 20s. One of their daughters had opened the door, and she started crying. And she said, Mama, the pastor's here. And they'd never come to our church. They just, I'm the pastor, you know. Mama, the pastor's here. And they said, we were just talking about you this morning, and we told my mama, you need to call that pastor and say you're ready to sell. So what we did was I just said, look, you go and you find a house that you want and you tell us how much it is and we'll pay it for in exchange for your house. So she just went and found the house, and I said, just tell me how. It didn't take her long. It was like 2 days she found what it is. And we just wrote a check, and we paid her house off in exchange for her land, you know. And then now we got, that's just the back side of the block. Now we're working on the front side, and God gave us all that. So we're demoing all these buildings, and why would a church be buying property unless it's to build, right? Normally. Well, it comes time to... We've got hundreds of thousands of dollars invested, and now it comes time to order the steel. It's like we can't play around now. This is serious when we order the steel. They don't come pick that up. Can I get a refund? You know what I'm saying? And we had the cash money to do it. Money wasn't the problem. It was that I knew it would hurt our church if that wasn't God's plan. And I was like, we have this opportunity. We had already bought that church. Actually, we had it for 2 years. It was just such a good deal. We knew God was putting it into our hands. And then it came time to order the steel. And I'm having to tell the people now, look, God's telling me not to order the steel. Now it's time for them to act on everything I've been teaching for the past several years on following the Holy Ghost. Like, look, I don't understand it any more than you do. I just know what the Lord is saying right now. Oh, and excuse me, I'm kind of got my stories twisted. That's when the land became available, right, honey? Like that property that we had, that it was not available until after I already said we're not ordering the steel. That property became available, and now it was obvious to everybody why we had waited. It was such a testimony and a blessing for our church to see how God would work that way. And so I don't even remember what was. Yeah, that's true. It was beautiful. Yeah. Right. And so now when Kathy and I got into our new home that God blessed us with, this all happened within just months, like 2 months. It was just the wildest thing. But you ever have such a great testimony, you're trying to figure out what part to tell for it? Like, that's where I'm at right now, okay? So, but that's a very good problem. So I believe God's going to give some of y'all them kind of problems. Amen. Praise God more. Amen. So all of a sudden now we're in our new home and I get a call and it's a company that wants to buy our property that we had been clearing all these years and purchasing, acquiring the whole block. Literally the best seat in town of Post, which is not saying a lot for Post. I mean, it was the best place in Post, Texas, I'll tell you that. Right across from United, you know, the grocery store. So, but everybody has to see it going through town. The best place in town. I mean, even my pastor said, Joy, I would not build inside town. I'd build right where you're at, where everybody come through that town has to see that church and see your sign. I'm like, praise God, yeah, that's right, you know. And that sounded good, and it seemed good, but and even Pastor Bracken acknowledged, well, I guess you were supposed to move into town just the way everything happened, you know. Long story short, we negotiated, and we were able to sell that whole property with our old church on it for like about $1 million, debt-free. Everything was debt-free. And then we owed 130 or something or 140 on the new church building that we had bought still, and we were paying that out. They actually financed it for us. And so we gave a pretty good down payment. It motivated them, but they financed it for us, which was a blessing. We didn't want to pay that bank interest and everything, you know. But anyway, so I'm just thinking, okay, I'm going to write a $140,000 check and we're going to pay off this new church building, right? Well, I'm praying in the spirit. And all of a sudden, after maybe, I don't know, 15, 20, 30 minutes, I just get in my spirit, ask them to take $40,000 off the remainder of the price if you'll write a check for the payoff. And now my natural mind reasoning kicked in. They don't have any motivation. It's not going to benefit them whether I pay it off or not. They don't care. I mean, like, what benefit is that for them? But I learned to ignore my reasoning when I had a witness on the inside. So instead of writing that check for $140,000 and sending it in, I met with a guy at McDonald's again, because that's where we met when we first negotiated for the purchase of the place. And that's what you do in post. You know, you go to McDonald's, so and drink coffee. That's right. And so I even felt just a little bit like embarrassed to say it. It just didn't seem like it was seemed unreasonable, you know. I just said, well, how would you feel about if we just paid off what we owe, if you would just take like $40,000 off? He didn't seem like it bothered him. He said, well, I'll talk to the rest of the board and we'll get back with you. Well, that was like November. So he said, you'll hear back from me sometime after Christmas in the new year or whatever. So it was like January, February, maybe late January. He got back with me and he said, well, I talked to the board and they said that they could do $32,000. Well, I didn't argue with him. I said, all right, that sounds good. And I, the Lord told me to ask for 40. He didn't tell me that I was going to get 40. Amen. And so if I hadn't asked for 40, I wouldn't have got 32. Amen. And so I just said, that sounds good to me. So praying in tongues for 20 minutes, I want to say, is the max I was praying in tongues. Ask $40,000 off. So many times we are getting the interpretation. We just don't realize it because it's coming. We think it's our thought. When really, when you're praying in the Spirit, you're getting in the Spirit, so your thoughts are no longer your thoughts. There's a reason that thought's coming up in your mind. Don't ignore those things. Don't ignore those leadings and directions. Amen? Amen. Amen. Did you have anything else, honey? Okay. Is this helping anybody? So we paid off that church and that property, and then we put another $120,000 in the renovations of it and everything, and just God just had blessed us with a really beautiful place for like the last 4 or 5 years that we had pastored there. And so here's another passage I want to show you quickly, connecting your prosperity and blessing to being led by the Spirit. And that's in Psalm 23, verses 1 and 2. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. See, green pastures and still waters, that's an abundant supply. That's peace. That's nothing missing, nothing broken. That's where he's leading you, but you have to follow him, right? And so our guarantee that we will never be in want is to follow where he's leading us. Amen? I'm going to skip a little bit ahead because I was saying some other things I didn't plan on. So thank you, Pastor. Amen. Well, let's get just a little bit deeper now into this, and I want to show you something here in Acts chapter 15, and I'm going to read several verses. I'm going to start with verse 25, but I may go all the way through verse 35. So in the King James, Acts chapter 15, verse 25, it says, it seemed good to us, being assembled with one accord, to send chosen men unto you with our beloved Barnabas and Paul. Men that have hazarded their lives for the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. We have sent, therefore, Judas and Silas, who shall also tell you the same things by mouth. We'll just skip on down to verse 32. And Judas and Silas, being prophets, also themselves exhorted the brethren with many words and confirmed them. And after they had tarried there a space, they were let go in peace from the brethren unto the apostles. Verse 34 says, notwithstanding, it pleased Silas to abide there still. Paul also and Barnabas continued in Antioch, teaching and preaching the word of the Lord with many others also. So you notice in verse 34, it says, notwithstanding, it pleased Silas to stay there. Others were leaving. It was the group. And normally you would leave with your group. But Silas, when he got there, he said he had a peace just to stay. Well, all right, bye. Like, you know, it was kind of an awkward little thing, right? They came together. They're supposed to leave together. And all of a sudden, Silas is like, no, I'm good. Y'all go ahead. He just had a peace to stay. Or it pleased him, the Bible says, to stay. I like the New King James. It says, it seemed good to Silas to stay there still. It seemed good. Now, I don't know about you, but if I'm making major decisions in my ministry, I want a little bit more than what seems like. Wouldn't you? I mean, like, if if Kathy asked me, are you sure we're supposed to do that, honey? And I said, well, it just seems like it, honey. She might need a little bit more confidence. You know what I mean? Like, I'm going to wait till you do more than seem. You know? but this is the thing, is that the greatest leadings are the smallest leadings. And what you think is you is actually the Lord. When you get one with him, your thoughts do become his thoughts. Your ways become his ways. So yeah, maybe it was you, but it's because you're getting so close to him, you're just doing what he would do if he was in your shoes. You've got the same spirit on the inside of you. I seriously believe Silas wasn't conscious that he was led by the Lord. It didn't say the Holy Ghost said or compelled in his spirit, like Paul said in other places. He just, it pleased him. It pleased him. And the New King James says, it seemed good. Now, I think this is interesting, too, that, you know, in the Gospel of according to Luke, Luke begins his account of the life of Jesus, and he just says, well, you know, so-and-so wrote about Jesus, and they wrote about Jesus, and this guy wrote about Jesus, and it's like, I qualify as much as any of them. It seemed good to me to write about him, too. The entire gospel, according to Luke, was written not because the Holy Ghost said, but because Luke just said, well, if they get to, I should get to. And you read the context, that's kind of what it's saying there. It's like, they take it in hand to write their letters. I'm going to take it in hand to write my letter. It just seemed like the right thing to do. So he just, whatever they had to do back then, you know, and he wrote him a letter. The Holy Ghost didn't tell him. He just said it seemed good. Now maybe we could, there it is. Oh no, let's go to that. Let's look real quick at that Luke chapter 1 verse 3. I didn't even tell y'all yet. It's not your fault. Luke chapter 1 verse 3 and the King James. I'm not sure what it says in the others, so. But the entire book of Luke was written simply because it seemed good to Luke to do it. And then so back to our other story in Acts. It seemed good to Silas. It's okay, guys. We don't have to do that if you're still trying. So it seemed good to Silas to stay there. So that's really the same seamer that he followed in staying in Antioch was the same seamer that Luke used to write his entire gospel account. Amen. And so why did he stay while the others left? It just seemed like the right thing to do at the time. And here's where you can get in trouble is we sometimes want more answers than we need. Why? It's none of your business why. If God says do something, do it. You're going to find out why on the other side of it, and you're going to be happy. But if you take the time to ask why and get and filter it all through your intellect, so it makes sense to you. Now, you don't even need God. You could do it yourself if you could make sense to you. That's what makes God God, is he does things that could never make sense to you. Here's another thing. It's not that you couldn't ever do what he wants to do. It's just that you couldn't ever do it the way he was going to do it. It's not just what he does that gives him glory. It's the way he goes about it that gets him glory. So everybody knows, man, there is a God. Even you are like, man, there is a God, and I'm not him. Amen? Amen? Praise God. We need those reminders regularly that there is a God, and I am not him. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Because of how he goes about bringing our miracles. He just wants us to follow him. Without faith, it's impossible to please him. Amen? So for Silas, the most natural thing for him to do would have been to go with him. They were finished with their mission there in Antioch. But here's what happens. Just a few verses later, Paul and Barnabas, they get into their disagreement. We could have fun talking about all who was right and who was wrong, you know, on that, you know. Interesting discussions and debates, you know. But bottom line is there was some contention. It said it wasn't small or something like that, right? So they were getting into it about some stuff, you know, direction, whether it was actually about whether or not they were supposed to take John Mark with them who had kind of like failed them in the past. He was probably promoted too early in ministry, and Paul, it wasn't that he was mad at him, but just felt like he's still not quite ready for this level of mission work here. So probably for his own good, but it says in verse 39, we'll skip on Acts chapter 15, verse 39. The contention was so sharp between them. This is Paul and Barnabas. Now, they're like the power team, right? Like everything Paul's doing, Barnabas is right by his side. But the devil gets involved with stuff, you know. And the contention was so sharp between them that they departed asunder one from the other. And so Barnabas took Mark and sailed unto Cyprus. And Paul chose Silas. Paul chose Silas and departed, being recommended by the brethren unto the grace of God. And he went through Syria and Cilicia, confirming the churches. Now, the reason why Paul was able to choose Silas is because Silas said, I'm staying. He didn't know what he was staying for, but he found out just a day or so later. And from the, you never even read about Barnabas anymore. Throughout the entire book of Acts. But the entirety and the remainder of Paul's ministry, Silas is right there by his side. He was where he was supposed to be, and he was connected with who he was supposed to be with because he was where he was supposed to be, amen? And just willing to follow the leading of the Holy Spirit without having all the answers, amen? Many times people are waiting for something like spectacular to happen to lead them. But like Pastor Hagin always says, and Brother Hagin said it as well, you know, if you're looking for the spectacular, many times you'll miss the supernatural. And you know, God's leadings are just as supernatural as spectacular things. But, you know, we get in trouble when we want God to lead us in those outward, more strong ways, right? Sometimes you get into your destiny by going where God tells you to go, and other times you get into your destiny by staying where God tells you to stay. Sometimes it takes as much faith to stay as it does to go. And you just got to follow what God has put in your heart. You see, the easiest thing for Silas to do would have been to go with them. And he didn't even have, like I said, he didn't even have a logical explanation for staying. But when you're led by the Holy Spirit, it means you're not always going to be doing what everybody else is doing. Amen. People can help you, but you got to follow the Holy Spirit. Amen. So I just want to make this statement here. This is something the Lord gave me as our own rule in our household, is until you get it clear and have peace about it, don't do it, don't buy it, don't go, and don't sign it. Let me give you that again. Until you get it clear, and I think I might have included that in those notes if you guys find that, but until you get it clear and have peace about it, number one, don't do it. Number two, don't buy it. Number three, don't go. And number four, don't sign it. Amen. If you just follow those rules right there, it'll help you a lot. Amen. You got to get that peace. Amen. Maybe some of y'all were praying and considering making a decision in this current season in your life right now. I just want to encourage you. It doesn't necessarily mean the Lord's telling you not to do it. That's not what this is about. But maybe for some of those who are getting second thoughts now, like, well, maybe the Lord's wanting me to wait. Maybe that's not exactly his plan. Well, I believe that God will lead you by his Spirit, amen, and get you right where you're supposed to be. Do you believe that? Amen. Praise God. Let's pray. Father, we just thank you. We bless you for your word. We thank you for the leadership of the Holy Spirit, oh God. You moved the Holy Spirit right on down on the inside of us, Lord, and we're so thankful. We're so thankful for your word, and we're thankful for your Spirit that leads us and guides us. We just trust you, and we thank you for daily leading us into the blessings, into the abundance, the still waters and the green pastures that you promised us. In Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Praise God.